May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I was kind of contemplating something that was fascinating to me this morning in my prayer. There's a lot of things that fascinate me. They usually involve clergy, but this one didn't. I was thinking about how we are identified with Christ as we were identified with Adam, and we know that it's true. Scripture makes it really clear, particularly in chapter 5 through chapter 7 of Romans, that we were in Adam. Adam was our representative. He was humanity's representative. And that just like Abraham's sons tithed, when Abraham tithed to Melchizedek because they were in his loins, we were in Adam. It's a covenant thing. And therefore, his history was our history. His fall was our fall. Every human being is born guilty of Adam's sin. Every human being is born guilty there of sin and under condemnation because we were in Adam. There are only two kind of people in the world, those in Adam, those in Christ. And when we became a Christian, suddenly we're in Christ, and therefore his history becomes our history. And everything about his history, it says through the one man's sin, all fell and death came over. But through the one man's act of righteousness, the cross, we were all redeemed. We're positioned to reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. And everything the Lord did had redemptive purposes. The Lord could have, I just thought this week we'd do some Christmas nativity meditations, but he could have just redeemed humanity any way he wanted to. He's God, right? He could have just said, okay, you're redeemed. But it was really important to him that he identify himself with humanity so that humanity could be identified with him. And the truth is that we weren't just in him at the cross and the burial and resurrection. Romans talks about that so much other places in Scripture. But his history is our history. He was the second representative of mankind. He was the second Adam. And the moment you become a Christian, suddenly you're now injected into his history. And I believe that everything that God did and the way he did it was for redemptive purposes. We call it, we've plugged into inner healing things over the last decades. I believe that was a ministry of the church forever. We don't hear people talk about that, but there were places where God takes us to, who lives in the eternal present, that bring healing to us. How many times have we brought inner healing to people who experienced trauma or brokenness in the womb? To who they were born to, their lack in culture and society, being born into poverty and brokenness, things like being homeless and abandoned, things like being raised as a single parent, through things that they've done, scandals they were born into in their families, so many things. And I thought about that, and the Lord just began to speak to me this morning. Years ago, I remember talking about the Christmas crash and some of the things I learned from it, but it was overwhelming to me. Because I think about if we are in Christ, and if you got saved today, you were in Christ 2,000 years ago at the cross. Well, you were also in Christ 2,000 years ago in his birth, in his life. And all those were things that God identified with us so that we could be identified with Jesus, so that we could experience healing and cleansing, redemption in all those places. In other words, Christ's birth was not a normal birth. There was not even a man involved in it. But it was not a normal birth, and it was considered a scandal from the very beginning. And what the Lord said, he said, everyone who's in Christ, their birth was of the Holy Spirit too. Their impregnation is of the Holy Spirit. It bypasses any kind of human thing. In other words, if a person was born as a result of rape or an immorality or in some kind of satanic thing, ritual committed, we know that in utero. Well, you know what? If you're a Christian, you were in Christ. And therefore, your birth is identified with his birth. Whether it's rape or whatever, that transcends all that and all human reality. Your birth was a supernatural one. Your birth is in Christ. And what was holy. You understand what I'm saying to you? If a person who was born because there was rape or immorality, you know, or irresponsibility, or in just horrible situations, circumstances, or maybe during the pregnancy, the mother rejected or others rejected. You know how we pray for those things? For people to be healed from their mother's trauma or mother's anxiety or the stuff being spoken. So we teach people. Edith McNutt wrote a book about speaking to your child in the womb, bring healing. But isn't there healing to know that, to go back and go, oh, now here's, let's just change reality. You are in Christ. And therefore you're in union with His birth. And therefore you are in union with His peace, His wholeness. You have healing in that. If, because there was rejection and things said publicly around her pregnancy, her getting pregnant, her carrying a child in the womb, all that is trauma and rejection and scandal. And I'm sure she was blessing, but were all the cousins, were all the friends, were all the people in the market? When she sat with other friends learning Hebrew and Scripture? No. But she's in Christ. You're in Christ. What about being born? Why would the Lord do that? Why would the Lord allow His Son to be born like that? Was it just because He was someone to show off and do some pizzazz? Everything was redemptive. Everything was meant to be healing. What about being born to really poor parents? How many people do we minister to? And there's a lot of people here who minister. It's not coincidence that you're here today. People we minister to who are born in poverty and suffer the consequences of poverty. Jesus was born to poor parents, to poor kids, who again lived under the cloud of scandal, experienced a lot of rejection, a lot of social rejection. They offered pigeons when Jesus was named. Turtle dove. They were pigeons. Because that's what a poor person's offering was. That's all they could offer when He was presented at the temple. Jesus experienced all the things that an infant. You can't get more vulnerable than an infant. When she told him, Joseph, she was pregnant, he was already contemplating, what? Having her put away. Just outcast. A young couple who were really poor, Jesus knew what it was to be a refugee, to be homeless. Left Nazareth, went to Egypt, lived for a while there, came back, ended up back in Nazareth because it was too dangerous to stay in Jerusalem. Jesus knew what it was like to, at least at part of the time of his life, to be raised by a single parent. We have no history of Joseph there towards the end. Most people believe that Joseph died when Jesus was fairly young, at least before a teenager or right at being a teenager. And yet he didn't leave his home to do his ministry until he was 30. He knew what it was like to watch a single mother raise, to live in the environment of a single mother. Jesus was born in a stable, a carved out cave. Not in a normal birthing place. There was no room on the inn. It wasn't the innkeeper's fault. It wasn't because he was a bad guy. It's because God orchestrated that. He was birthed in a manger, laid in a manger, dirty, nasty, where animals slobber and eat from, feeding trough. And the clothes, I remember when my kids were born, and the clothes, I finally had to tell Olivia, stop. They're going to grow up to be gay. You can't dress them like this anymore. They got to look like boys. Jesus didn't have any, there were no fancy places. There was no like parties or shower. He was wrapped up in the rags that kept a barn and a feeding trough clean. He was surrounded by uncleanness. He knew what it was like to be totally, absolutely, utterly dependent. He was an infant. Couldn't change himself, couldn't feed himself, couldn't do anything. Why did he do all that? Why did God identify with all the things, every category humanity go through? For redemptive purposes. Because for those who are in Christ, no, they were there in him. And it applies to their situation. Well, just take your abandonment, and that's part of what Jesus was carrying. Your poverty, your being rejected, your being homeless. Just think of all the refugees, who are children who are born as refugees in the world, millions in awful refugee camps. I think of the slums in Nairobi, the second largest slum in the world, millions. 2 million people. Feces and urine and filth everywhere they live in. They live in cardboard boxes. We have a great church there, as a matter of fact, right in the middle. What about all those people? What if they could hear this word that Christ totally identifies with you and where you were in? And he bore our sickness. And he bore our sorrow. And he bore our pains, it says. I just think there's something powerful about it. I can't explain it all yet, but I know it's true. We were in Christ. His history is my history. Therefore, because I was in Christ, my history is redeemed by his history. You see, he took my poverty. He took my scandal. He took the uncleanness. He took the rejection. He took the homelessness, the vulnerability. He took all those things himself. He took my experience into his. And whenever Jesus is introduced into an experience, he transforms it all. Because he was kept by the Holy Spirit and all. Do you see? God help us to see. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.